Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, May 31st, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I have two guests with me today to talk a little bit about some current events and a little bit about some future events. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Happy Friday to you. Also with me, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. The first thing I want to talk about today is, Andrew, you discovered that there's been an airport update.
Yes. So this is firmware update 7.9.1. It fixes 8 security bugs, one of which that I highlighted was the most serious. So in the event that maybe you decide to sell or get rid of your airport base station, and you wiped your data, maybe it didn't actually wipe, according to this. I couldn't find any further details other than a base station factory reset may not delete all user information. This affects the Airport Extreme and the Airport Time Capsule.
Okay.
Yeah. I read that too, Andrew, and I wondered, like, is it keeping things like my SSID and password, or is it that it, because my guess is it wipes that stuff out. If it hadn't, that would have been discovered a really long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So my guess is that it's what it's not wiping out is like the ARP tables that relate like MAC addresses to your devices. So there might be some very loosely personally identifiable, you know, personal information in there, like the MAC address of a device that was connected. I'm just guessing here, but I feel like if it was something very obvious, it would have been caught long ago, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, but whatever it is, I'm glad they fixed it.
Yeah, definitely. I was wondering if maybe it was just like tied to an Apple ID or something, and that maybe clearing out.
That could be too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've seen that, and all of these are serious, like in various degrees, you know, depending on what it is. So it's good to know that there is still an update. This is the part where I think, Dave, we need to issue the standard disclaimer about this doesn't mean Apple's getting back into the router business.
Yeah, when I saw the update, it was like, oh, that's interesting, and like looked at it. It was like, okay, this is great that they know that people are still using these. They haven't replaced them yet, and it's true. We hear from people all the time on Mac Geek Gab that are still using their, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5 year old airport devices as their routers, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Mm-hmm. But so it's good that Apple issued this, you know, this patch, but I certainly don't take this as a change in Apple's stance on their desire to be in the router business, because I don't think they ever wanted to be in the router business. So I think they're happy to be out of it.
So, I think so as well.
Yeah. There's other people doing it better. They're doing it more the Apple way than Apple, right? Like the whole mesh thing was sort of the nail in that coffin. Like, oh, this is like set it and forget it, right? The Ron Popeil of consumer electronics is like Apple, right? Like just make it work, make it easy. And other people totally leapfrogged the rest of the industry, including Apple with consumer mesh and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. Definitely. The only thing that I ever thought was sort of interesting about Apple's approach was when they started slapping a backup volume into their router so that it was even easier to use Time Machine.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only novel thing that they really did, in my opinion, as far as, like, providing Wi-Fi to people. That was most of it. Because most people's networks have more on them than just Apple devices, like, by and large. And the easiest way to connect... The easiest way to put a network together is to not have the Apple device and try to hook a Windows machine to it, at least initially. You know, some of that stuff was kind of a pain in the neck. So, like, I ended up being the network admin at my house because it was up to me to get all my Apple junk on the network.
So
it was up to me to have to figure out. So I became the network admin. And the first thing I did was make sure that we had a router that would support everything and, you know, all of that. And it was very easy to find a wide variety of choices. I have a friend who's in the market for a new router right now. There are a wide variety of choices out there for all of these things that will do a much better job than anything Apple sold when Apple sold their own stuff.
Yep. If you're looking for that time capsule replacement, something that as a standalone router has, you know, the ability to be a time machine backup store, although I really don't recommend using time machine across the network. It's just unreliable, regardless of what you're saving to. This is one of those do as I say, not as I do scenarios, because I definitely do use time machine across the network. It's just unstable and I have to wipe it out every 6 months or something. But, Synology's RT2600 AC, which we have an article about, is the best time capsule replacement that I've found. It's a better router than a time capsule. Mm-hmm. And it also, it doesn't have a hard drive in it, which I actually think is a good thing. It's got a USB port, so you can hang whatever size USB hard drive, or if you want to go that route, like SSD, or like you could even use a flash stick, although like, not, don't ask me about it when it doesn't work, but you know, but you can do all those things, and it very much has time machine support. It's also got support for AirPrint, so it can take your non-AirPrint printer, be they USB or network printers, and turn them into AirPrint printers. It actually acts as an AirPrint proxy, and then it does all these other things, like it can be your own like private Dropbox and everything, that things that Apple's routers never did. So that would be my recommendation if you're looking for the standalone router replacement. If you want mesh, I've got a whole article about that. But really, it's probably, if you want the Cadillacs, those are Eero and Plume's Super Pods, not Plume's regular pods. So those sort of sit at the top of the list. And then the budget conscious, I have not yet found the right word to describe how I feel about TP-Link's Deco stuff. It is so good. It is, they are constantly updating it, both from a hardware and from a software standpoint, and it is so economically priced that for most people, I have a hard time not recommending TP-Link's Deco stuff. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Yep.
Yeah. I would point out that I too use a time machine across the network, but it's not my only backup.
Right.
So
right.
I have other ways to do that. So I just sort of have the time machine one for like, I need that thing from yesterday basically, or a few days ago, and time machine is awesome for that. And then I have other ways to backup. We talked about backup methods before, I think. So those are some good tips. Now, I never used an airport. Dave, I don't know if you did. Did you?
I don't know that I used an airport device as my primary router. Although, certainly in the beginning I did. It was the only consumer grade router available when the iBook came out. So I definitely did. Mm-hmm. I think that's why Apple got in the router business, right? Is because someone needed to be in order for this new, you know, wireless capable laptop called the iBook to be functional for people. So, but yeah, I did on and off for a while, and then sort of moved on to, you know, routers with more capabilities and, sure, and more ability to tweak and all that stuff. But for a long time, I left a time capsule on my network in bridge mode to be two things: a time machine destination primarily, but also it acted as what we call the Bonjour sleep proxy, mm-hmm, which is something that Apple's routers, the Apple TVs, and I believe the HomePod can all do. And what Bonjour sleep proxy does is if your Mac is sharing files or sharing a printer or something, right? You go into, you know, system preferences sharing, you turn it on, and now you're sharing this resource on the network. Well, we want to let your Mac go to sleep. But if your Mac goes to sleep, it's no longer sharing that resource. So mm-hmm, what happens is as your Mac is going to sleep, it reaches out to whatever the Bonjour sleep proxy is on the network and says, hey, will you handle incoming requests for this for me while I'm asleep? And if you get one, wake me up and I'll take it from there. Right. So if somebody says, yeah, I want to print to your printer attached to your files, you know, your airport or your Apple TV will like ping your computer and say, whoa, wake up. Like, you got something to do. And then it works, and it really works great. So before Apple TV or HomePod were available or entered my home, my time machine, my time capsule was also acting as that. Mm-hmm. And it just does it automatically. You don't need to configure anything. It's just magic. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But then
these are the routers, not the Express, where I know a number of people who still have those to extend music basically throughout various parts of their houses.
I think the Express was also updated by this, or no, Andrew?
Let's see. I don't think it mentioned Express.
No, it just says
the thing that we're talking about is the bigger things. So
it's the ones with 802.11ac. So not even an earlier time capsule. Only the last of the time capsules, I believe,
yeah,
would be affected by this update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's our PSA on that and some excellent network tips. We have those. And we're going to, sort of like yesterday, we're going to look a little bit ahead toward next week. Next week is WWDC. And Dave was not here yesterday to talk to us about his wish list. So Dave has an item that he is wishing for that would happen next week. And Dave, over to you.
Yeah, I would love to. There's one last thing I want to get in under the wire, although I don't think it'll be announced next week. Before I do that, though, I do want to say a huge thank you and send a big shout out to all of our WWDC 2019 coverage sponsors, which is iMazing, Smile, Carbon Copy Cloner from Bombic, Sanebox, and Direct Mail from E3. Without them, we could not do what we're about to do next week. So they rock. And if you visit MacObserver.com, you can see links to them and all their stuff. And we'll be talking more about them next week. But I just wanted to do that quickly because they're awesome. Messages is the target of my wish list item here. Text messages started out as just a very quick way to send things back and forth to people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like I have a thought I need to share, and it's basically an immediate thing or whatever. And then it evolved, and iMessage was added. So we have SMS and iMessage. iMessage essentially functions the same way, though. It's just being sent through Apple's servers. But there's some cool things that we can do to iMessage because it's a data connection, not an SMS or MMS connection. And Apple's been able to evolve that. And they've added cool things like, you know, you can have little apps that come into messages and do things like, you know, sharing, collaborating on restaurant picks for the night or, you know, whatever. Like there's all the little cool little apps that we have. And that's great. I'm really happy to see Apple doing emojis and like all the cool things. Seriously, tap backs are an excellent, evolution of messages, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to say, yep, got it, without having to actually type. But messages have really become a big part of our communication lives. And for many scenarios, they replace email or stand in for email, right? Mm-hmm. And they're being used not just by people for personal stuff that, say, I'll call it low priority, although sometimes personal stuff is very high priority, but they're also being used in business more and more. Like I get, just in the last year, text messaging has really become sort of normal for me to get a text message from, say, you know, somebody at an ad agency or something. It's like, oh, yeah, right. We do this now. Okay, cool. Great. No problem. Because it's efficient, right? They're great. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. The fundamental way that we interact with our messages has not changed since SMS first came out, right? Every interface that I have for my messages on my computer or on my phone sorts my messages by most recent in the conversation, right? So whether it was from me or from someone else, most recent, there is no way for me to find what messages are new. Actually, there is one way for me to listen to only new messages, and it's to use Siri in CarPlay, right? Because it will, and when I get in the car, it's not uncommon for me to hear about some message from 3 days ago that I simply missed in the stream of things. It was still unread, but I have no way of finding unread in my messages. It's not there, right? And if I have groups, like I've got groups for my family and you know, various other things, if I can't, the only way that I can add a message to that group is to scroll around and find that group and be like, oh, there it is. Okay, I found it. But I can't really even search for it. It doesn't work that way. So we need, like, I think the underlying messages code base is fine. We need a new face. We need a new interface for it. We need Messages Pro, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And I started digging around, like, what exists here? And there is, I think it's called Message UI, which is a framework from Apple. It's a public framework that is a user interface for composing messages, either email or text messages. But that's it. You can't read messages with it. There's something that I found, like, I think it's Chat Kit or Messages Kit that exists, but it's a private framework, right? So you like, no third party could release an app that just allows you to view your messages differently. We need something where, like, I get that there's a lot going on, both marrying SMS and iMessage together, but also with iMessage, you know, everything is sent with end-to-end encryption and all that stuff. And of course, Apple doesn't want to, like, give those keys to app developers, but there's no reason that Apple couldn't create, you know, like a calendar, like calendar store, a messages store, a thing where your Mac and your iPhone and your iPad all manage the data of your messages and just give third-party developers, if Apple's not going to do it, give third-party developers the ability to create new looks at that data that your devices are dealing with in the background, right? All yes. I need is you to say, you know, Messages Pro or Busy Messages, you know, to in hopes that the folks that created, like, BusyCal and Busy Contacts would then also be able to create Busy Messages. These things all just look at the data that's already there. You can run BusyCal right alongside yes. Calendar, and they both talk to the same data, right? It's just, so I want Busy Messages for the professional that's using messages, and I want to be able to, you know, see a different view. I want to be able to sort by name or sort by unread or sort by anything other than time. Like, you know, I would love to be able to have favorites and just see my favorites. I would love to be able to mark a message as flagged. So if Kelly sends me a text and says, hey, I really need this thing from you, and I'm like on a hike in the middle of the woods, it's like, cool, I want to get this to you. Now is not the time for me to be able to do that. I need to come back to this. There's no way. We've tried internally here to, like, figure out, could you, you know, use, like, workflow shortcuts to, you know, flag a message in a different way and maybe add a reminder for it. No, like, these messages are just, like, right there. And you can't, once I read a message from you, I have no way of flagging that message. Yeah, right. It's in the past now. And that's just not how text messages are being used. And I get caught all the time. And if anybody listens to Mac Geek Gab out there, you know the goal is you don't want to get caught. So I need something to help me not get caught missing follow-ups or even messages entirely. So there you go. That's my wish list.
I even would go nowhere near that far. That's awesome. I just really want the speech balloons to go away and stop taking up so much acreage. That's really all I want.
That would be another thing. Like, if messages store existed and a third party could give you a new view on messages,
yeah,
then that would be fine.
I would really like to split it, like off it, skin it in some new interesting way. That's all I really want.
Whatever. Yeah. And that's basically what you know, BusyCal did and does is. It gives you a new view on things, a new lens to look at your calendars, and then some different functionality around it. But I really feel like this would be, I've been thinking about this for a little while here, and I grok the, at least from a, you know, 10,000 foot view, maybe even a 5,000 foot view, maybe even a 1,000 foot view, I grok the security implications here. But I feel like Those are easy to work around if messages are just stored in a database and you say, I want to give this app access or not. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the little permission dialogue and you choose. And it, by default, the answer is no.
Yeah.
But, you know, the app wouldn't necessarily even be able to read the data. It could just display it to you.
Right.
Like, there's ways to do this that, yeah, it's just frustrating.
Well, and we've seen it in other contexts, like,
correct.
Andrew has a collection of music players that use the music that you have and just give it a new view. I've used several of those on my phone. You know, they don't give me any new music. They just show me what's already there and give me an easier way to navigate it. You know, Dave, you talked about BusyCal. There's Card Hop, which does the same thing for contacts on iOS. And there's loads and loads of ways to do this. And I know that there's a database of those messages somewhere, because when my Mac had a complete seizure over not sending messages, even saying messages were unsent, even though they were sent, saying things were read or unread when that status was inaccurate, I had to go nuke that data store and then come back to it and, you know, let it build itself over again from zero so that everything would work like it was supposed to. So I know all that stuff is there and it shows it to me. I wish the search was a little nicer. That would be one of the few things I really wanted.
That would be the search would be the one thing where, in order for a third party to implement that in a different way, they would they would need access to the contents of the message. Like, you would need to give them permission to see the contents of your messages. And I would even accept if Apple didn't want to allow that. Right.
I just want Apple to make the search better in messages.
Apple just needs, like, the search is awful.
Because we've sort of left, it's sort of like everybody just uses messages all the time anyway. And so we assume it works and nobody's paying attention to it. But it's one of those things that really needs rethought, I think. You know, like you're saying, we've used it for so long and it just sort of is what it is. And it would be nice if it were to get a little bit of an update, you know, like when everything went flat. Was it iOS 7?
Yeah.
And everybody freaked out. You know, there's some very bread and butter sorts of things that really could use a little bit of sprucing up, I think. So I'm with you on that 100%. I will point out that on Monday, Dave and I will be most likely, Lord willing, in the creek don't rise, as they say where I'm from. Dave and I will be doing an episode of Mac Observer Daily Observations that will be slightly delayed because we're going to do it after the keynote. We will both be in San Jose next week. And if you will be in San Jose, or you know somebody else who will be in San Jose who needs to talk to us, you can email observations@macobserver.com. You can get a hold of us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes for people that you know are also going to be at DubDub that we should be talking to. We will have coverage. We'll have all kinds of stuff going up next week. There's going to be lots and lots of stuff. We're going to kind of all be there. And Dave and I are people who will do our best to go do all the things. And so we will be very, very busy people. So we will do our best to be covering all of that and bringing it to you. Andrew will be home in his pajamas, laughing at us, trying to get everywhere to do all the things. So I'm pretty sure that's how that's going to go.
We're doing a little meetup on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It's in downtown San Jose, walking distance from the everything, just right there in San Pedro Square Market. So I'll give you a link, Kelly. You can put it in the show notes so that people can, if they want to, you know, get details and show up and just say hi.
It's
just very informal gathering. It started, a couple of Mac Geek Gab listeners were like, we should get together. It's like, right. And then it was a couple of Gig Gab listeners were like, wait, you're going to be in town? You should be like, it's like, yeah, you know what? Here's where I'm going to be for like 2 hours on Wednesday afternoon. Let's all get together and just hang. So
let's do that.
That's where we're going. Yep,
yes,
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I will most likely be there as well. And aside from that, like, we will be here, there, and everywhere. So get a hold of us and let us know if there's stuff happening that you know about that we need to hear about so that we can make sure we cover it for everybody else. I would like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks for coming by and talking to us about airport updates.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And have a great weekend. Dave, thanks for coming by. I'll see you soon.
We'll see you next week. Yep. Thanks, folks. Thanks, Kelly.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. As I said, I will be back Monday with Dave on a slight delay. I will talk to all of you then. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.